I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel. It is Mark, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 8, 14 through 15, and 21 through 23. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes had come from Jerusalem, they gathered around him, and they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And they also are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and scribes ask him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandments of God and hold on to human traditions.'" Then he called the crowd together again, and he said to them, "Listen, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person by going in that can defile. It is the things that come out. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they can defile a person." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, have any of you ever felt like the whole world is a critic and you're its stage? Have you ever tried your hardest to do what is right, only to have someone come to you and pick it apart and tell you just how wrong you'd really been? Well, if you've ever had these feelings, then welcome to the world as Jesus knew it. I mean, here was a person who gave everything he had. According to Mark, in the weeks leading up to today's reading, the one I just read, well, Jesus had completed a number of very successful preaching engagements. There had been several healings that finally culminated when he brought a young girl back to life. He'd also calmed the storm, rescued his disciples, and fed 5,000 people with just a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread. Now, sometimes what we forget is that Jesus didn't live in isolation. He didn't go around with this little band of believers and everything went right for him. He had another life, too. And so while he was doing all of these spectacular things for other people, do you know what was going on in his own life? Well, he'd been run out of his hometown. According to one of the other gospels, he was not only run out, they tried to kill him. His mother came to him, convinced that he was a lunatic. And the official said, "No, he's not a lunatic, he's a heretic." Oh, and did I happen to mention that his cousin John had also been killed? Is it any wonder that he needed a rest? I mean, with everything going on, he'd lost his focus. And he felt a need to bring his disciples back together, just so they could spend some time relaxing and renewing themselves. And yet, does anyone remember what happened when they sat down to have what should have been a quiet and relaxing dinner together? What happened? Well, it seems as though the religious officials invited themselves to the party. And it wasn't long before they found something to complain about. "Oh, Jesus, why do your disciples eat with dirty hands?" It sounds like a conversation we have with a 3 and a 9-year-old. According to the law, everyone was supposed to wash their hands before eating. Now, Jesus knew all about general hygiene. And he also knew the laws that governed ritual purity. And do you want to know something interesting? While the law was very clear that the priests, whenever they approached the altar to do any religious work, they were supposed to wash their hands and their feet and their head in a very specific way so that they were ritually pure. But there were no biblical laws that mandated anyone else to do the same. There was no law that said that any good Jew had to wash his or her hands before eating. What had happened was the religious officials had taken the law and they had expanded it to suit their own needs and then insisted that the law said just exactly what they were saying. Jesus knew the law. Now, do you see why he was just a little upset with them? Why he came back in such a rather terse way? You know, he said the prophet was right. Y'all are a bunch of liars. They were wanting people not to obey the law, but to obey their own agenda. In other words, the Pharisees were not interested in promoting what was right. They were more interested in proving they were right, even if it meant bending the truth just a little. And so Jesus called their bluff. "Listen," he said, "maybe their hands are dirty, so what? Let me tell you something. It's not what goes into your body that makes you impure. It's what comes out. It's what comes from the heart and out of the mouth. That's what you better be concerned about." Anyone looking at the Pharisees would assume that they were doing everything right. But Jesus looked at their heart. And he understood that while they were trying hard, somehow or the other, their motives had become askew. And they forgot. The laws were made to glorify God, not to glorify people. Reflecting on this passage, Amy C. Howe wrote, "Our challenge today is to recognize how Christians, like the Pharisees, have been known to deliberately misinterpret what is important to God. Do we look at the dirty fingernails of our homeless brothers and sisters and think to ourselves, they really don't belong in our church? Do we hear a crying baby during the worship service and whisper to our neighbor, don't they know where the nursery is? Like the Pharisees, we seem to put a lot of extra energy into pointing out the faults and the failures and the shortcomings of others, rather than examine the sins that stain our own lives. Close quote. It wasn't that what the Pharisees thought was right wasn't right. I mean, we should wash our hands, right? They do carry diseases. But it was their reason for concern. They weren't concerned about the health of the disciples. They were concerned about their own status. They weren't there to talk about the things that Jesus had done. They were there to criticize the things that he hadn't done. It wasn't that they were wrong, but their motives. That's what Jesus called into question. And so the lesson that we have to learn from this passage is that we need to listen to Jesus' teachings and to remember that when we use the scriptures inappropriately, when we use them to prove our point, to prove that we're right and other people are wrong, when we use them to promote our own agenda in place of allowing them to guide us in God's ways, we not only separate ourselves from one another, but we also separate ourselves from Christ. But when we listen carefully, and when we follow closely, then we can create an atmosphere where love and acceptance flourishes, where all God's children find a place to belong and to serve. So how do we create such an atmosphere in the world that we live in today? Well, unlike the Pharisees, we have to learn to rejoice in the good people do rather than always looking at their shortcomings. I mean, listen again to the words from the epistle. Know this, my dear brothers and sisters. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. This is because an angry person doesn't produce God's righteousness. Therefore, with humility, set aside all moral filth and growth of wickedness, and welcome the world planted deep that is able to save everyone. Christians, we don't always have to do what's right. We can let the scripture stand on its own and allow its light to flood our lives. We don't always have to be right. Because if we allow the scripture to guide and direct, then we can trust the truth that lies in each of us. A truth that is able to guide, to direct, to change, and to save. If I trust the truth in you, and you trust the truth in me, just think of the miracles that can occur. So come to the table. Dine with the Lord. And rest assured, he really doesn't care about the state of your hands. It's the state of your heart
that really matters. To God be the glory. And all God's children say, Amen.